Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Off the Court Recap. We are going to just dive right in today. It has been a very busy week in sport, in tennis in particular, and we are just past round six of the AFL and the Margaret River Pro on the World Surf League tour has finished. So there is a lot to talk about in today's recap. I love bringing you guys these recap videos because you guys have been loving them, number one. And number two, it's just a really easy, quick way to listen to what is going on in sport, what is going on around, you know, around the sport world. Tonight, as I'm recording this, the Lorenz Sports Awards are on in Madrid just before it gears up for the Madrid Open on the tennis side of things. So that is really cool. Novak Djokovic is nominated as per usual, and a ton of other athletes are nominated. Leo Messi and a bunch of others. So that'll be really cool to see who wins that overall, which I think is really cool. But first of all, we're going to dive in to a few things. We're also going to talk about a couple of announcements in tennis. So let's actually start with those. So news this morning is that Rafael Nadal is going to be playing the Laver Cup for Team World. For those of you who don't know what the Laver Cup is, so the Laver Cup, it's an international hardcourt men's team tennis tournament between what they call Team Europe and Team World. So that's pretty self-explanatory. Team Europe is any tennis player from the European side of things, and Team World is like Australia, the UK, or the US, or like anywhere else. And it's usually held in a European city. This year it's being held in Berlin. I am lucky enough to be able to go this year, which is very, very exciting. I've never been to Germany, much less I've also never been to the Laver Cup, so I am really excited about that. It is a fairly new tournament. It was only founded in 2017, and it's become an official like ATP tour event. So the points do actually count towards general scores, which is a really cool thing. But yeah, it alternates yearly between European cities and some cities in the rest of the world, but nine times out of 10, it is in a European or UK city, which is really cool. And yeah, the Laver Cup, well, I mean, it's a big deal. So this year, it was looking like Rafa wasn't going to play, but they just announced this morning that he is playing the Laver Cup, which is very, very exciting. And yeah, that'll be, you know, obviously a big tournament on his calendar for the year. He only has a couple of others, i.e. Madrid and Roland Garros and stuff of that like, which is really exciting. So he, yeah, that's kind of where it's at. So the Madrid Open has already started. I think I mentioned that, but before I get into that, I'm going to go back to some other tennis news. Gabinia Muguruza, she has, and I think I did a pretty good job of saying her name, she has called time on her career. She is a two-time Grand Slam champion. She's only 30, so she's still fairly young. And she has decided to move on to something different. I have been lucky enough to see her play a lot of times. I was going to say a very few times, but then I actually thought back for a second and realized how many matches of hers I have seen over the years at the Australian Open or at various other tournaments. She seemed to be, for a while there, she was the one that, like, you would always go and see if like your favorite wasn't playing or stuff like that, because she was still a really, really good player. She was never one of my favorites, but she was still a very, very good player. Obviously a former Wimbledon champion. And for anyone that knows tennis or watches tennis knows that winning Wimbledon is the biggest accolade that you can probably receive or that you can win. It's just, Wimbledon is just like, it's incredible. But yeah, it's very, very exciting. I'm just reading a little article right now, that she's also a former world number one, and a lot of really cool things. So yeah, that is the news out that she is heading into retirement. As we know, that can always change. It just really depends on how things go down. She has 10 Grand Slams and 10 career titles in general. So yeah, that is pretty much the news off the front there from latest announcements. To the results from over the weekend. So for those of you who will know that in the last recap, I said that Tsitsipas won Monte Carlo. Well, he played Casper, him and Casper Ruud played in the final of Barcelona Open. And this time Casper was able to get up and win. Again, that is an ATP 500 tournament level. So it's definitely very exciting for him. It is the biggest win of his career so far, to add to the other titles that he has. I believe the score line was, let me double check on that, 7-5, 6-3. Obviously Casper's way. So I feel like it was definitely I watched a little bit of it. It was a bit of a, basically just, so like a repeat of last week. Steph, I didn't feel, played as well this week as he did last week. Obviously that showed in the results because he didn't win. So yeah, that was kind of an interesting moment, but we're very happy for Casper, and that is very cool that he won. Elena Rybakina, she won Stuttgart, and I think it's kind of like a cool thing for her. Obviously it's a cool thing in general, but definitely to win, you know, another WTA tour level tournament. The final score was 6-2, 6-2, and that finished up yesterday. She has, you know, a lot going for her. She's doing really, really well right now. She is currently, I believe, third in the world. Yes, so that is where she's at right now. So that was a really cool win. And then also Sloane Stephens, she won a WTA 250 in Rouen yesterday, which is really cool for her as well. I think it's good to have as much practice and as many wins, obviously, leading up to the clay court season as you could. This match was a little tougher, 6-1, 6-2, 6-2. So they went the full distance with the three sets, looking like her previous matches were, fairly easy. But I definitely think that she did well. Obviously she's a former US Open champion and she has won her first title since 2022. So that is really cool for her. Obviously you guys know in the recap I did that her and her doubles partner won the Charleston Open, which was really, really cool. A total vibe. That was such a great tournament too. But yes, so that is the biggest news. Taylor Fritz unfortunately lost, in the, what tournament was it again? It was the the BMW Open. So yeah, he lost to Struff, which obviously for him wasn't ideal. But I think it's nice for Struff winning a home tournament in Munich. And then who else? Oh, Martin Fuchsovics. Please forgive me if I said that wrong. He is our champion in Bucharest this week. And that is an ATP 250 level tournament. So yeah, good results all around. I won't go into too much detail. If you guys want to get the actual score lines, obviously you can find that on Google, on ATP, on WTA, on the Tennis Channel. excuse me. So we're going to jump in to the movers of the week. So the actual mover of the week, which is when someone goes up the rankings very, very well, it is Martin. So he's gone up 29 spaces. He's currently ranked 53 in the world. Taylor Fritz has gone up by two spots to 13. Struff has gone up to, gone up to 24, up four spots. Christian Garin has gone up 14 spots, and Mariano Navone has gone up 11 spots. So that's kind of the movers and shakers on the ATP side. Let's see the WTA side for this week. I mean, that's pretty much it. Iga Swiatek has cemented 100 weeks as the WTA world number one, which is really cool for her. And then, yeah, so we're going to bounce over to some other news. Novak, Djokovic has withdrawn from Madrid with a non-medical reason. So we will hopefully see him on the clay in Rome. If not, I guess we'll see him at Roland Garros. So that is the update there. Updates in the surfing world. The Margaret River Pro obviously was this past couple weeks. Jack Robinson won for the men's side of things, and Gabriella Bryan won for the women's. Which is cool. You know, I wasn't unfortunately able to watch too much of the Margaret River Pro due to other work commitments, but I did see a bit of it, and what I saw was awesome. I think we also all know by now that it is a very, very high possibility that that was the last tournament and the last professional wave that Kelly Slater surfed. He obviously losing his heats early on, but he, you know, that was a really cool moment in sport in general, and just I think for the history of surfing at a professional level, the history of surfing in general, and for anyone that got to kind of witness that moment or know about it or hear about it, is very special. Obviously, Kelly has been on tour for, 30-something years now, which is insane for any athlete to be on a tour level at, for that long time. Like, he is pretty much, as far as I can think of, he is the only one. Obviously the likes of Roger Federer and all of them have been on tour for a very long time. Serena was on tour for, you know, I think almost 20 years. There's a lot of people who have been on tour for a really long time, but still surfing as a professional at 52, I believe, is wild to me. I think that's how old Kelly Slater is. Let's double check just because I want to make sure that we are all right here. Yeah, 52. So wild to still be surfing at that age on the professional circuit. Of course, you can surf at any age as long as you're safe out there in the water. But again, being 52 is insane and incredible, incredible achievement. And I just remember when I was younger, I just remember being like, oh my God, this guy, like, he's so good. I feel like he's always going to be surfing. And I just felt like I don't know, like, you know, when professional athletes retire, you just feel like that moment's not going to come. And I feel like this year is a really big year because we've got a lot of like retirements in professional sport, i.e. Kelly Slater, Rafael Nadal, so on and so on. And I think, well, it's swirling that Rafa, it'll be Rafa's last year. Not everyone has confirmed that, but it's swirling that that it will be his last year. And he has said too that he thinks this will be his last year. So whilst it's not 100% confirmed, it's like 99.9% confirmed. But we'll talk about that on a later episode. But I think for Kelly, and we will do like a little, I want to do like a highlight reel. I want to do like something really cool on our off the court page to commemorate Kelly's time on the tour and just thank him for all the joy that he brought, all of the surfing viewers and the surfing community and the sports viewers around the world. So that was really cool. He does have a wild card for Fiji. So if that happens, if he gets that, he will be, you know, surfing another wave. But if not, which it's still up in the air, it's not guaranteed. It's not even like half guaranteed. It's like a what if kind of thing, or it's a wild card. So again, that is up to the tournament and other variables as to whether or not he surfs another wave there or not. So yeah, that's definitely an excitement, definitely bittersweet, definitely a change of guard, a changing of guards. You know, in terms of retirements, obviously we just spoke about Garbiñe Muguruza. Danielle Collins has expressed this is her final year on tour. And you know, there's a few others that have expressed that as well through various sports. So that'll be interesting to see as the year kicks, as the year continues and as some of the other seasons begin and start to wind down. Obviously tennis is a very, very year-round sport, as is surfing. But some of the others have, you know, will change a little bit. Out of the AFL this week, we have Nathan Murphy of Collingwood. He has effective immediately retired as well. He played really, really great for Collingwood. Hasn't played a lot recently, but he is a premiership player. And we just want to thank him as a Collingwood supporter. I want to thank him for his time at the Pies. And then as a sports fan in general, I want to thank him for sharing his gift with the world. Aside from that, the AFL, as the ladder currently stands, after week six, we are, let's see, after week six, all right, we have Geelong on top, then the Swans, the Giants, Carlton, Port Adelaide, Melbourne, Essendon, and Western Bulldogs are currently rounding out the top eight. Then we have Fremantle, Collingwood, Gold Coast, Brisbane, St Kilda, West Coast, Adelaide, Richmond, Hawthorn, and North Melbourne at the bottom of the ladder. And there was just one team that remains undefeated so far this season after six rounds, and that is Geelong. So it's definitely interesting to see who will end up. Obviously, we're so early on now. We're just round six. So this is kind of like the what I call the shuffle phase. A lot of teams will switch up. A lot of teams will jump outside the eight, jump inside the eight, jump outside, jump inside. That'll go on for, from what I've seen over the years, probably till like round 10 or 11. And then it'll start to like shape up really well as to who might be the final eight that play finals. Obviously we are very at the beginning of the season. We still have a long while to go. There's 24 rounds and then there is finals. So that is the AFL updates for this week. I'm going to cap the episode there because we are just about to hit 20 minutes. Hopefully, everybody is tuning in to the awards tonight, to see who wins. And yeah, I hope you guys have a wonderful, wonderful week. My prediction real quick for Madrid is Stefanos Tsitsipas. And I say that because I just think that He's doing really, really well right now. And on the women's side, I'm going to go with Sabalenka. So hopefully I'm right. If I'm wrong, it's okay. Whoever wins, I will be very happy for them. And yeah, I will see you guys next week on an off-the-court recap. And stay tuned because we are having our first guest episode launch mid-May, which is very exciting. So make sure you stay tuned. We're going to do some recaps till then and keep your eyes peeled for the Kelly Slater content on Instagram. Okay, bye, y'all.